You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
In case y'all can't tell it, I have a wonderful time at the rec room. I'm so thankful for the day that Brother Leland asked me to help with the music at the rec room, because this is where God is on Thursday night. We see miracles in this room every week that God does, not us. I mean, all I do is, as you can see, lean back and act like a fool and have the biggest time of my life singing and playing songs that I love. And I get to see God come in and work miracles in people's hearts every week. We hope we see some right here tonight. He's still there. He can still do them. And this song says about what he's done for me. God's been so good. He is so good. Thank you.
Turning your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9. Now, if you would like to turn there and don't have a Bible, if you'll hold your hand up, we'll get you one. We got the Bible guys. Luke chapter 9. I want to talk to you tonight about three servants who wouldn't serve. Three servants who wouldn't serve. Anybody else need a Bible? Luke chapter 9. I remember one guy stood up one time and he said, "Would you turn in your Bibles?" And everybody was just sitting there wanting to know where. And he said, "Oh, just anywhere. It's all good." Well, we're going to be specific tonight. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start with verse 57. Prior to this, Jesus had fed the 5,000, and his fame and popularity and notoriety had grown immensely since that time. We have no place to go, sir. He fed 5,000 people, and you can just imagine the amount of popularity he got because of that. Everybody heard about it. And so anytime things start getting good and popular, everybody wants to get on the bandwagon. We, especially many times in religion, we see things that we want to kind of get on the bandwagon. For a while, everybody was wearing bracelets and necklaces that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, he probably wouldn't wear that. But anyway, we got the ichthus, that's that fish on cars. You see him, the Christian symbol. You'll see bumper stickers that says Jesus is coming. Heard about an old man that his car stalled, probably about like me, and his car stalled at the light. And a lady behind him began to honk and rolled her window down, gave him a good cussing and was hollering at him to get out of the way. And an officer came up and cuffed her and took her in to book it. And she was throwing a fit. Why are you doing this? And he said, "Well, lady," he said, "I noticed on your car that you had a bumper sticker that said Jesus is coming. You had one on the back glass that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? You had another one that had a name of a church on it." And he said, "I just assumed the way you were acting and the signs on that car that you'd stole the car. So I took you in for theft. Said, I'm sorry, we run a check. It is your car. I'm going to let you go." But see, we act sometimes a whole lot different than we talk, don't we? We talk service, but most of the time we don't want to serve. I've always wanted to be in management. I didn't want to be a laborer. And the Bible said the laborers are few. Everybody wants to be in management. I can run this. So, Jesus meets three guys. The first one is a little too eager, and the next two are not eager enough. But I want us to look at them and see if we fit anywhere in this picture, because the Bible said these things are written for our learning. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, we started, and it said, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." This guy came to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do." Matthew tells us when he's talking about this event that this guy is a scribe. A scribe, today we'd call him a rabbi. He is a leader. Now, I guess this guy thought this would impress Jesus, because up until this point in Christ's ministry, he has not had any of the elite. He's had fishermen. He's had tax collectors, which had a bad reputation. He's had, when I moved up here in West Texas, we got roughnecks and oil field trash. Hey, I was lived down in Houston, and down there we got shrimpers. And in every area somewhere, there's that group of people that are just roughneck type people. Well, here's the first time a guy volunteers. He's got some class, so forth. He's more than just a shepherd. And he volunteered. He said, I'll go anywhere with you. Notice that Jesus just tells him, gives him some facts. Here's what he said. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. Jesus had no real estate. Jesus had no condo. Jesus had no home. He didn't own any of those things. He only ministered 3.5 years before they killed him. He didn't own these things. So many people talk about, well, you trust the Lord and he'll make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Maybe. Maybe not. It depends. See, I'm not saying that he can't. But there's not much prestige that goes with Christ. This guy evidently thought that they were. Here was one of those flash-in-the-pan type deals. Here's one of those jailhouse promises. Now, let me tell you something. I believe in jailhouse conversions. I believe in jailhouse conversions as much as I do church house conversions. I really do. I know people in my life that I saw get saved that are jail. One of them who's still serving time. I got a call one morning, and I'm a chaplain out at Ector County Jail. And this guy's mother happened to be a dispatcher for the sheriff's department. And he had committed a horrible, horrible crime. And we talked, and he was so broken and been drugged. And just, it was a terrible situation. Tremendously high bond. And I said, he was so broken up by things. I said, I want you to think about it. I'm going to be back in 2 days. And then you and I are going to talk. Not about your crime, not about your future. We're going to talk about the Father's future. You going to heaven. And I got back after I had him in an isolated cell. And we knelt and looked at the Bible through the bean hole. And he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior that day. Now, that wasn't the unusual part. The unusual part is when everything started falling apart for him, he still trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. They finally got his bond down because of his mother's influence and with some bonding companies, because her position. They got him out that week. He come the first Wednesday night he was out. He was across the street to that church over where his mother went. Sunday he was there. Had a Monday night Bible study. He was at the Bible study. At 6 o'clock his name and his face would be plastered all over the news. If it had been me, I'd have crawled under the bed, stayed home. You couldn't have found me in Odessa, Texas. Here he was coming to Bible study. I was listening to the radio the day he went to trial. And every week we visited. Every week we prayed together. Every week we went over some things in the Bible. He had a multitude of questions. He was a big man. The only thing in his life that he'd ever had was one PI. This guy had such a good background that in a divorce settlement, he got the children. He was raising his children. And this was totally out the borders for this guy. And I was listening on the radio, and he got a 50-year sentence. I walked in the house, and just as I did, Linda said, have you heard about James? And I said, yeah, I just heard it. I said, I probably need to go out to jail. You're going to be so broken up. So I just turned around, left, drove back out to jail, asked him if I could see him down to the law library. And I was standing out talking to one of the officers and looked up, and here he came. Now, James is a huge man, 240, 45 pounds, just big, huge. And the closer he got, the bigger the grin on his face. And I said, he said, what are you doing here, Leland, at this hour? I said, James, I come to check on you, man. Are you all right? And he said, Leland, you know what? I'm trying my best to hate the DA, and God just won't let me. He said, man's just doing his job. I did the crime. I'm guilty. And he's serving that sentence. His letters are up. He makes a difference. I was, last year, we were up at Plainview at a Criminal Justice Awareness Conference. And one of the guys spoke that happened to come from that unit. And after the deal, I went up to him and I said, you know James such and such? He said, oh, man, know him well. He's one of the best students I got. And he's been there 15 years now. See, God makes a difference in life when he gets into it. If we're just doing it for show, if we're just one of them jailhouse promises, maybe the judge will cut me some slack because I've gone to church type thing, you can forget that. Hey, and this guy said, I'll go where you want me to go. And Jesus just told him what the situation was. He didn't say, you've got to go there with me. He just said, I don't have a place to lay my head, my man. I don't have a place where we can all go. Think about this. 12 men followed him, not knowing where they were going to sleep that night. 12 men followed him, not knowing where they were going to eat that day. And people still know their names, and you and I won't be dead 2 years till they will have forgotten us. In fact, they'll have mine in your funeral. And after it's over, somebody said, I wonder if they got any more of that banana pudding left up at the church. Let's go get some more of it. Yeah. Hey. And the name, 2,000 years ago, but the name of Jesus Christ. Foxes have hope. Birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not a place to lay his head. See, a lot of people will go, but if you got to pay my expenses. I drug that little lady at the back all over West Texas, the prisons. I thought any time any prison would invite us, I thought that was the greatest honor they could pay me. I really did. Still do, to be invited, just to tell somebody about Jesus is a thrill to me. And we went all over West Texas. And then we did a few little trips. I went to Longview, Denison, all these people talking about the ministry and the things that we were doing. And we never asked one time, and nobody ever offered to pay our expenses. And there'd be times to say, hey, we got a chance to go to the Wallace unit down there in Colorado City. And we can go week after next. And she'd say, Leland, we don't have the money. Guess, good news for us today, we sure wouldn't have the money, the way Guess says. And yet, God would take us in, and we'd always get there and get out and get back and see somebody saved. And we just thrilled to death that somebody would let us tell a story. Man alive, to get to see people that their lives had been so tormented by Satan and his dominions, and see them turn around. One of the greatest thrills that I ever had was when the officers, the guards, could see the change in a man's life. Because most of these prisons, West Texas prisons, we went to 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times a year. We had 3 different types of seminars: discipleship, marriage seminar, and children's seminar, and we done them all in the Wallace unit. But we've been in the Word unit. We've been in at La Mesa. What's the name of that unit? Smith unit. There you are. Went to the perfect prison, Lionel unit. Perfect prison. You can escape today, and sometime tomorrow, the one of the officers can look up and say, "Well, there he goes. We might as well go get him." And man, there's nothing out there but rattlesnakes and little bitty mesquites and wolves. And but in fact, if you escape today, you'd come back by dark. I'll tell you that. Yeah. You say, "Man, just get me back in a place that's safe. It's not good. You can see forever." But we've been from Delhart. Delhart's right this side of Nome, Alaska. Goodness, I thought we'd never get there. We've been to the Ramsey 2 unit, that's southwest of Houston. I've never seen so many watermelons. They raised their own watermelons. It looked like a pyramid of watermelons set up there. One of the guys, I said, "Goodness, y'all got a lot of watermelons." He said, "Yeah, and we eat them 3 times a day." He said, "I'm so tired of watermelons." But it was a thrill to tell the story, just to get to go and tell the story. See, it's not if somebody will pay my expenses, but that I get to do this. Now then, look at the next guy. Verse 50. "And he said unto another," now Jesus is recruiting him, "follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father." Christ invites him to follow. And by the way, Christ's still doing that. He's never stopped doing that. He's still issuing the invitation. "Come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And this guy says, "Suffer me first." And by the way, that's most of our problems, me first. Me first. "Lord, now I'm going to go with you. But I really need to go bury my daddy." And Jesus is not being cruel here. But what he's trying to get over to us is that there's a bunch of things that we need to just leave in the past and go forward. Some of us need to give up some dead loves in our past. Some of us need to just follow Jesus. Some of us, and this guy's not being lustful, he's not being greedy, and probably it's a normal invitation, except here's what Jesus said to him: "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Let the dead bury the dead. Let's go bring life to somebody. Let's bring some life. That's what the gospel is all about. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, every time Christ went to a funeral, it ruined it. Don't you think about that? 3 times in the Bible, he went to where somebody was dead, and they got up. You never invite him to a funeral. He messed it up. Because he brought life. We keep hanging on to a bunch of dead things instead of bringing the life. And that's what God told us to do. And then notice the third person. He said, "And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee." Now he's a volunteer too. "But let me first," that's that me first stuff again, isn't it? "Let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I'm going to tell you what, if he'd have got home to bid them farewell, they'd have talked him out of it. There's more people sitting on the shelf in Christianity because their family didn't want them serving God. Oh, they want them serving if they could get a good job, but you know, honey, we don't want you to go to the mission field. No, we don't want you. And that's a communist country. You can't do that. No, you need to get with a bigger church group to where you've got retirement. You need some retirement, and they need to build you up a better income, and you need to get a doctor's degree. One of the best preachers I ever heard. Old-fashioned, got killed in a plane crash years ago, Lester Roloff. But they offered him a doctor's degree at Tennessee Temple University, and he said, I didn't know God was sick. And he didn't take the doctor's degree. Just old-fashioned preacher like here. But no excuses. See, we've all, let me first. I got some things I need to do. Let me get my partying over with. Leland, you don't understand. I'm still young. I got plenty of time to make that decision about Jesus. I got some partying to do. I got some wild oats to sow. There's some things that I want to get on my belt. I want to do this and I want to do that. When I get older, I'm going to do that. When I get older and tired and if I get as old as you, Leland, and can't do anything, then I'll do that. But man, I'm not like you. I'm not old. I'm young and I do that. I want just one more fling. One more time. You look what Christ said. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's a couple of things about that. I guarantee you, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you can't plow a straight row. If you put your hand to the plow and look back, you don't know where you're going. How many times do we do that in our spiritual life? We say we're going to, but we don't. I'm going to serve you. I've learned my lesson in jail. I learned my lesson at Safe P. I learned my lesson being incarcerated. This time I'm walking with God. I'm through with this. And then along comes that allurement of crack cocaine. Along comes that pull of meth. Along comes that tug of some easy money. Had one to tell me last week. You'd be so proud of me, Leland. I have not done any crack since I got out this last time, and she's sitting in jail for selling it. But she wasn't doing it. Hey, when are we going to pay some attention? No man. Can't look back. We keep looking back at things. We keep replaying the old flings. We get in some of these treatment centers and we talk about the big party we had and we swap these stories. And let me tell you something. It's all right if you want to go replay that, but you play the whole tape. Don't you just play it to the high and quit. You play it all the way to booking. You play it all the way to emergency room. You play it all the way to where you woke up someplace that you hope to God nobody found out you ever woke up there. Three guys said, I'll serve, and wouldn't. I want you to bow your heads. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody looking around. I want to ask you, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? As far as you know, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven according to the Bible? Have you placed your trust in Jesus? Have you asked Him? Maybe just say it this way. As simple as I know how, have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul? And if you can say yes to that, would you just slip up your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now, you know what? I could count real quick. Most of you can slip them back down now. I could count the hands because many more hands did not go up than went down. Have you just trusted Christ? And now, here's what I want you to do. The Bible said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's not my words. That's God's words in God's Bible. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then he's three verses later, he sums it all up and said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anybody, anywhere, anytime. Tonight, we're going to stand. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. And I'm going to give you the opportunity tonight to become God's child and mean business with him. Would you stand to your feet? Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit might touch some hearts tonight. Father, a lot of hands didn't go up when we asked about this salvation thing. Father, please don't let anybody leave here tonight with that doubt, without that assurance that comes from you that they're your child. Father, everybody in here that isn't your child can be your child in the next 2 minutes. I pray that they will. Father, have your own way in this moment. Give them the courage to step out, not to put anything off, not to look back, but to put their hand to the plow and said, I'll go with you, Jesus. Pray that they do that now in Christ's name. Head still bowed, eyes closed. As Brother Charles sings, would you come on the very first verse and say, I'm going to trust Christ tonight as my Savior. Come on. Softly and tenderly. Yes, sir. Come right on. Come right on. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Others need to come. Right now. Jesus is calling. Softly. Tenderly. He won't push you. He won't fight you. Come on. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Come on. Do you mean business with him? Or is it me first? Come on. Brother Charles is going to sing one more verse. No one comes, we're through. While people are praying down here at the front, don't want to hurry them, but I do want to hurry you. Put me first. Put Jesus first. Still bowed and eyes still closed, and people are still being praying down here at the front. Thank you for being here. Entertainment, refreshment bar still open. Pickup book, that little thing, what have I done? What do I do now? Into the calendars. We also have some bicycles. We have a bicycle rental program. Some people mentioned this week about it. We do have some, so check with me after that. Thank you so much again. Our Father, thank you for those that came. Thank you for those that made decisions for you. Father, the truth of the matter is each one of us made a decision either for you or against you tonight. We always do. Whether it's public or whether we just hide it within our heart, We make those decisions. Now, Father, those that made the wrong ones, I pray that you give them another opportunity to make it right. We ask this thing in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.